Formalities, maladies, maladies. Well, that's the formalities over with. It's time for me to introduce our opening act. Got something a bit different for you this year. You know, I can remember becoming a Jake Thackeray fan way back in the 60s when I first saw him on Raven Speech. Remember a program called Raven Speech? And subsequently, of course, on That's Life and the David Frost Show. I think it's absolutely wonderful that Jake's music and poetry and humour is being kept alive so brilliantly by John Watterson. So will you please give a huge farewell welcome to the man known to his friends, and that's you and me, folks, as Fake Thackeray.
Something of a problem right at the outset, because you're a much, much younger audience than I'm used to playing to. So, clearly, many of you will not be of an age that ever saw Jake Thackeray. Many people may never have heard of Jake Thackeray. And that, in itself, doesn't matter, because his songs are just as good whether you've heard of him or not. But just so I get some idea of what we're dealing with, does anybody remember Jake Thackeray? Can anybody recall what he sounded like?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It was a grand upstanding bounce of cock. So brisk and stiff and sprung, with springy step and a jaunty bloom and a purposeful look in his eye. In his little black blinking eye he had. I took him to the coop and I introduced him to me 17 wide-eyed heads. He yoked and he took like a hero talks, and he bowed from the waist and all the men. He yoked and he took them all again, he did. And then upon the piece of he dosed me geese, he repeated in true. Glazed eyes and open mouths, they bore it all with fortitude, and a little bit of gratitude they did. He choked my giggling guinea fowl and thrust his attentions upon my 20 hysterical turkeys and a visiting my grill swan. And the bands had thundered on. He ravished my fantail pigeons, my lily white columbine, and while I was locking up my butchery gun, he jumped me parrot from behind. She was sitting on his shoulder at the time she was. Then all of a sudden, with a gasp and a shudder, he clasped his hands to his head. Lay flat on his back with his toes in the air, the bantam cock lay dead. And the vultures circled overhead, they did. What a noble brute, what a champion cock, what a way to live and die. Digging in a grave to save his bones from the hungry buzzards in the sky. When the bantam opened up a sliding lie, he gave me a grin and a terrible wink, the way sex maniacs do. He said, "You see them big daft buggers up there? They'll be down in a minute or two. They'll be down in a minute or two." Two of his sons wrote on the back of this very guitar. They wrote, "Go away. Why don't you pick on Richard Still?" No, they didn't. They said, now they were very generous in their comments, and I was able to chat with the family of my musical hero and find out stuff that I wouldn't have been able to learn anywhere else. And there were various little things, but one snippet that stuck in my mind was that Jake was a big Led Zeppelin fan. No reason why you shouldn't be. I'm a big Led Zeppelin fan. I just thought that was, you know, getting his style of music. I thought that was interesting. and do it so that the audience can't spot the join. Do you know, I think I've done it. The castle and ladies' magical circle meets tonight. In an upstairs aspect district room that's lit by candlelight, where there's a little joke and little radiator for more. Married ladies practice every week on speakable pagan rights. Dressed in their Sunday coats and their flower pot hats. Respectable middle-aged ladies running from fat and fat. There's Elizabeth Jones and Lydia Ray, married ladies each with a Woolworths broomstick and a tabby cat. But they don't waste time with a Ouija board or a seance now and again. No, none of your wittering, twittering, petty poltergeists for them. No, Elizabeth Jones and Lydia Ray, ladies prefer to be tickled by the whiskery chickens or bogeymen. While my husband's potter and snooker down the club, unaware of the devilish chickery book and rubber dub dub, while Elizabeth Jones and Lydia Ray, while the ladies are frantic and dancing naked for Beelzebub. And after the witches picnic and the devil's grunt, after their savage panting, their hysterical leapfrog world, Elizabeth Jones and Lydia Ray, three or four more, married ladies go back home for cocoa and the epilogue. So be careful how you go on a Saturday night. If you see a little old lady passing by, it very well might be Elizabeth Jones or Lydia Ray, or one of those satanical ladies. Their cheekbones all alight. Don't go where they invite, because the castle and ladies' magical circle meets tonight. From York, where I live, the organisers will often very kindly offer a bed for the night. You know, come to stay with us. And that always puts me in mind of this next song. And I wonder whether the story of lust and debauchery that happens in this song is going to happen to me that night. And do you know, it never bloody does. So if you are involved in a village hall, or indeed if you have a house, with a large living room, I suppose a small, a normal sized living room, if you've got a lot of small friends, that would work. And especially if you have three grown up, beautiful daughters, give me a call and make an old man very happy. My landlady had three lovely daughters who used to come and make my bed each day. They used to come and clean my living quarters, but their mother made quite sure they didn't stay. There was Mary, she seemed cheery. There was Helen, she was well and truly sceptical about my qualities. There was Julie, she was truly well proportioned, but her caution brought exhaustion to my aching arteries. But I was wrong, they weren't at all impervious to the possibilities of high romance. And I sensed a certain girlish weariness in the way they folded my pajama pants. And I was right, falling one night, sweet little Mary, like a fairy's honey sleeping, came a creeping to my side. was mine and was divine, but we were doomed, for very soon came Sister Helen into the bedroom, and she cried. Mary go to heaven, off Mary went, now young man, Helen said, for your poor judgment. We mustn't have a fight, we mustn't have a row. Turn off that light, it's my turn now. Well, I was young and relatively vigorous, and though I still protest by innocence, by temperament I'm strictly non-polygamous, and if I sin, well, I sin in self-defense. Nevertheless, I must confess I would miss that kind of bliss when it was ended. I was rendered comatose when loud and clear and very near and in my ear, but I was spoken, I was awoken from my post coital doze. Helen go to heaven, Helen went away. Now, young man, foolish head, you will have to pay. You blighted Helen's charms and filched her purity. Open up them arms, come and filch me. I was amazed and really rather tired. I thought I'd given all that I could give. A little kip was all that I desired. But I'm British, so my upper lip was stiff. She was chaotic, idiotic, so exotic and ecstatic, acrobatic and emphatically fine. All to no good, for when I could open my eyes, to my surprise I found her mother gazing into mine. Julie got to bed. Julie left the scene. Now listen, Ma, I said, I know the old routine. I'll do what you like, but I shall be vexed, and I'll bloody well go on strike if Grandma's next. There is no kind of smile about you. rumors untrue. But you are so nice, ah, so nice. No howling, no scowling, no howling, no growling. So nice, ah, so nice. People who think of you, think of you. I do have some CDs for sale. They're mostly Beach Boys, okay? A few old show of hands in there. No, I've got a CD, it's 18 of Jake's finest and funniest songs. And if you've enjoyed my little set, come and say hello at the interval, and perhaps join the mailing list. My sons, who are with me in the audience tonight for the first time, Chris and Alex, they say I've got to get up to speed with all the latest technology, so I've got to have a mailing list, I've got to have a Facebook page, I've got to have a Twitter account. And I'm doing my best to keep up with all this technology. I did actually put a video onto YouTube a short while ago, and it went fungal, which I thought was a good thing. So Chris and Alex will be moving amongst you in the bar, trying to flog CDs. Buy a CD of Alex because he's saving for a haircut. You'll spot him. Jake introduced this song by saying, "This one is offensive." I disagree. It's sexist and offensive. I've got to prepare the ground a little bit for it. Look, it's not offensive at all if you're a bloke, okay? Ladies, please just remember that these songs were written before political correctness was invented, okay? And it's only offensive to certain women. And I had a look at you as you were coming in, and I didn't see any certain women. There's a few highly probables down the front here, but I didn't see any certain, so I'm going to take a risk on this. My day. To me it is palpable proof of God's existence, a posterior eye. Also I love breasts and arms and ankles, elbows, knees. It's the tongue of a woman that spoils the job for me. Please understand, I respect and admire the frailer sex, and I honour them every root as much as the next misogynist. But give some women the ghost of a chance to talk, and then upon, they'll go on again, on again, on again, on again, on again, on again, on. But she had to say I do. But she folded her arms and gathered herself and took in a breath, and I knew she could have gone on again, on again, on again, till the entire congregation passed out, and the vicar passed on, and the choir boys passed through puberty, and the reception I gloomily noticed, the family jubilant mood, their maniacal laughter, and their ghastly gratitude. Or a sleep or a slip. She talks to me on a Sunday when I go singing hymns and drinking heavily whenever many my chimney pots. She's down there in the street, and at night at 5 on my motorbike, she's on the pillion seat, whittling on again, on again, on again, on again. When I'm eating or drinking or reading or thinking or when I'm saying my rosary, she will never stop talking to me. She's one of those women who will never use 3 or 4 words when a couple of thousand will easily do. She also talks about something to me in our bed of a night. Throughout the sweetest of our intimate delight, she never gets over, not even stopping while we go hammer and tongue towards the peak. Except maybe for a sigh and a groan and one provoked shriek. And then then she goes on again, on again, on again, on and on. Assume that she has never noticed that she's just been interrupted. Totally unruffled she is, and as far as I could see, I may just as well have been posting a letter or stirring up the tea. She will not take a hint, not once she's made a stop. I could yawn or belch or bleed or faint or flatulate. She'd not drop a syllable. I could stand in front of her grimly, sharpening up an axe. I could sprinkle her with paraffin and ask her for a match. She'd just go on again, on again, on again, even more. The hind leg of a donkey is peanuts for her. She can bore the balls of a buffalo. Mother, I'm gonna cry one day, I'll let your kingdom come. And in the meantime, mother, won't you strike this bugger dumb? Well, believe it or not, she appeared to me then and there. The blessed virgin herself in answer to my prayer. Despite the vulgarity, shimmering softly dressed in blue and holding up a hand, I cocked a pious ear as the Mother of God began. And she went on again, on again, on again, on and on. We'll have to stay down very much, I said, but the rest of the family gives a woman the ghost of a chance to talk and then a phone. Well, on again, on again, on again, on again. And again, and again, and again, and again. They will go on again. Enjoy the show. Funny, no, you are. me through the chapel to my prayers, nor her lustful moanings fill the stainer. No more empty bottles of altar wine come clunking from her cell. No longer will the cloister toilet seat stand upright.
With a rather large hammer. His name was John Gowdy.
John Gowdy was a fine young man in Shetland, so it's told. Men is the ground in the hand, turn his fiddle and he did hold. Did pass the top, they passed it, then as he put the tunes around. Of all the players in Shetland, there's no better could be found.
When John
I'm not afraid of the dark. back to the level which shot rose in Soviet next song is also biographical. It was written by John Richards from an album we made in 1985 called Clavis's Leap. It's called Honour and Praise, and it's not about an individual by name. It's a man who's a representative of his class and calling. He's the captain of a trading vessel under sail, and in the days of high market forces, if you got your ship back before your mates who were on other vessels, you'd get a risks were taken, and many lives were lost in the pursuit of just another day shaved off the calendar. So here's Honour and Praise.
Oh,
Would you like to see that? Rehearsal in the interval. We'll do it. Okay, we've got a little instrumental for you now from an album called Festival Bell, which I hope some of you have purchased, have you?
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of you. That's really, we're upset because we've still got a lot left. You know, but thanks. And guys, you know, it will soon be Mother's Day. Some very tender love songs on Festival Bell, it would be an ideal present for the wife or girlfriend or both. It's a little instrumental, this. It's called Albert and Ted. It's named after my dad, Albert Pegg, and Rick Sanders' dad, Ted, because they both worked at a school in Birmingham, the Celestial City. I don't know if any of you have ever holidayed there at all. What's funny? We're from Birmingham, Rick and myself, and we have an incredible canal system there, which is bigger than Venice. And Birmingham is really easy to get to. You can, you know, just go, any motorway will lead there. It's really easy to get into Birmingham. And I don't know why people, you know, you should check it out. It's a really happy place now. It's really good. I'm just mentioning Birmingham because actually I've got a part-time job for the tourist board there. So it's an instrumental, Albert and Ted, and it's two tunes, one of mine and one of Rick's, which Rick has put together. Don't ask me why, because I'm in a different key, apparently in a different time signature, whatever that is. I'm not very good at English because my dad was a caretaker at this school where we worked with Rick's dad, and was the head of the English department. So I'm going to hand you over to Rick because he's more knowledgeable. He knows more about music than
It is very exciting.
I thought you were doing very well, Peggy. Perhaps Peggy wants me to tell you that this is essentially the juxtaposition of disparate contrapuntal paradigms.
Exactly.
Put more simply, ladies and gentlemen, it's a fusion. That's what it is. It's a fusion of two different musical styles. In this case, I'd say that it's part country and part rap. We call it crap. Now look, I've got a birthday here, but I'm confused by it. It says, happy birthday today, love, Sandy, Francis and Taz, see you all at property. So is that, happy birthday today, love, Sandy, Francis. It didn't say whose birthday it is, or is it Sandy's birthday? Is there a bit of syntax? Whose birthday is it?
Help us.
Is it help? Hello?
Tony's.
Tony, well, Tony's, his name's not on here. Psychic. Let's try and explain. All of those of you who believe in psychokinesis, raise my right hand. Oh. Do you know the most popular DVD last year was Poltergeist? He was just flying off the shelves. Please yourselves, Albert.
This is a fair mate, my favourite bass player in the room tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Keith Cronshaw. And thanks for the drink, Keith. Albert and Ted.
Which was a surprise entry because it was never
band's touring repertoire at all. It was recorded on a very early album in 1968 and was a song that came to us entire from Sandy Denning. She'd written it before we met her, before we met each other, in fact. So it's about Mary Queen of Scots, and it's called Fotheringay, and Fotheringay is the name of the village in Northamptonshire where she met her end back in the 16th century. So to set the mood for this, we're going to just play in, we're going to fly in a bit of fake music here. This isn't quite the same as lip sync in the National Anthem. It's as close as we're going to get to that. But when we made the recording, we needed to, the three of us singists here, had to do some ooing and aahing behind the instrumental. And when we heard it back in isolation, we thought, that's really sounding rather nice and very moody and atmospheric. So just to set the scene for a bleak Tudor pre-dawn, frosty January Northamptonshire morning, here's some blokes pretending they're monks.
Days of precious freedom, all the dead and before. If such fruitless years behind the guarded door, but those days will pass no more. Thank you.
mid-70s when probably most of you weren't born. I was desperately trying to buy a house, and property prices because of the tourist boom that had happened in Birmingham forced me to move to Oxfordshire to a village called Croppredy, where it was a bit of a stroke of luck really, because there were fields there and stuff like that, and animals and farmers and poachers and lots of folk songs from Oxfordshire, and I was very lucky to actually pick up some of these folk songs from John Leslie, Chris's brother, because they lived in Banbury at the time, and they used to come over to a little cottage in Croppredy, and we'd have musical soirees where I would get them incredibly drunk, and because I was a much better drinker than they were at the time. I mean, I don't know whether I am now, I'm not sure. Chris doesn't drink anymore wisely. His brother John probably does, but he's probably better than me. I don't know. He's younger, so he's got youth on his side, I suppose. But anyway, but John used to be, and I had this apparatus. It was incredible. It was like a machine. It had a button with an arrow on, and the one next to it had a red dot. And if you pressed them together, it recorded whatever was going on in the room. It's incredible technology. And one night after they'd been over, Chris and John, the next day I pressed like playback on this device. I think it was called a cassette recorder. They were brilliant, absolutely brilliant devices. And I pressed play, and this song came out called The Ancient Poacher. And I thought this would be great for Fairport. So I ran over the road to Dave Swarbrick's house and got him out of bed. It was quite early in the day, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I got him out of bed and I said, "Swamp, I've got this incredible song I've written called The Ancient Poetry." And then I played it to Simon. Simon was, you know, already up and had done like lots of things, you know, the garden, all that stuff. Simon was much more efficient than Swamp was. Weren't you in those days?
Sounds like Morecambe and Wise.
Well, it was a bit like that in the 70s, not that you'd remember, we're all too young and we still have several CDs left and stuff. But anyway, so, and then the group said, "This is great," so we recorded it, and I felt really proud about it, you know, The Ancient Poacher, Dave King, until about 5 nights ago when Chris's brother John came to a gig at Leamington Spa, and I had to tell this story on stage, and then I realised he's going to have me for this. So on the afternoon, I went through all my accounts and I worked out that I'd made £13.60 in royalties since 1975 from this particular song. So it shows that songwriting's a really lucrative thing to do. So anyway, without further ado, oh, we'd like to play this for two people who've come all the way from Croppredy, in fact, to see us tonight. And Josie and Pete, I hope. Josie and Pete, are you here?
Yeah.
So your names look different when I do that. I can't read your writing. So this is for you. It's The Ancient Poacher. Thanks very much.
Oh, three ancient lads came out one day to load up the fun, and they made their way. They took some dogs to get some game and soon to wise and more to come. Laddie-i-o, laddie-i-o, three jolly young fellas and seven in go. Laddie-i-o, laddie-i-o, three jolly young fellas and seven in go. Yeah.
it was the title track of the Fairport album in 1973, and it's been sent from Dave Swarbrick, who wrote it through us to you all, and particularly to anyone in the audience tonight called Rosie. Anyone called Rosie?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is quite remarkable. We haven't had one, we haven't come across one Rosie all tour. Can somebody make it up next time? If you come again, just try it. Anyway, this is a Rosie. I know, Rosie, you're living in a world you didn't make. And I know it's hard feeling happy when the things you want aren't even there to take. Throw away you before now. this time about a chap from the northeast of England, and he's very much in love, but he has to cross this really bleak, dark, damp, muddy, snowy, foggy, hail-bound moor to get to where the object of his affection lies. And when he gets there, finally, he finds out that she lives with her parents. So he's doubly cursed. And this is a song that was learnt by Dave Swarbrick from a wonderful singer called Bob Davenport, and it's called The Hexhamshire Lass.
Away to the moon, away to the captain of feather, out to see my lass who lives in Hexhamshire, up the city side, over the moss and the mire. I have to see my lass who lives in Hexhamshire. Her father loves her well, her mother loves her dearer. I love them both, but my pen can get nearer. Up the city side, over the moss and the mire. I want to see my lass who lives in Hexhamshire. If only I could be lying there beside her.
Almost 99.9% of the time, people will find their birthday in it. So please do buy that, and then you can send us birthday cards and stuff if you like, or if you send us an email, we can send you birthday cards, and also details of Cropredy Festival. But anyway, I digress, because some of you might be as desperate as I am to go to have an interval. So we'd like to play this next song. It's called Walk A While, and it was always our opening number, but somebody's printed the set back to front, and it's all gone terribly wrong.
It's opening track of the first interval.
Yeah. We'd like to play it for a Fairport Virgin tonight, for Jeremy. This is for you, Jeremy, from Paul, your mate. Paul's been to every Cropredy, and Jeremy has never been at all to any of our do's, and we hope he'll come back after the interval. as well. So we'll leave you with Walk a While. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Scottish succession, the way the government's going. Or at least where it was going in the 14th century. I don't believe in mixing politics with music, but I think if you get a little bit of historical perspective, in a matter of dozens of years, it's okay to sort of just observe what went on. But back in the day, the King of Scotland wanted to unite his throne with that of Norway, thereby providing a sort of cross the North Sea axis against Sassanax down here. To this end, he dispatched a ship to collect a Norwegian princess, bring back Mary to his son, job done. There was a faction in court that was against this and set out to sabotage it by doing, hit on a good ruse here. They got the sack for the bloke who was, the seasoned salty sea dog who was in charge of the ship, and he was given a sort of premature retirement, and he was substituted with a chap who knew absolutely nothing about anything at all. I think he was a banker. You might have been an economist. You know, if you laid all the economists end to end, they still wouldn't reach a conclusion. enough of that, employer bashing. But anyway, we remember the name of the poor captain who didn't want to be there in the first place. He'd just been appointed this job and made a right hash of it, and everybody drowned. His name was Sir Patrick Spens, and here's his son.
the sea. It's connected with a man called Lord Franklin. He was that chap who tried to sail through the ice floes north of Canada to find Northwest Passage. And he had a few attempts, and his final attempt was so final because he disappeared off the face of the earth. And it was a great mystery at the time, and many expeditions were sent out from around the world to try and be the first to come across them. And a particular vessel left England, very aptly named HMS Investigator. And they too succumbed to the terrible conditions up there, and if you imagine how bad it was for them, think of us all here in this room, all together, not allowed to leave for any reason for 3 years. Who would you eat first? You see, you're safe with me and Rick, because we're vegetarians.
Grass-fed.
And when it reminds me of us.
Prime quality meat.
This is going in the direction I didn't want. So, the song is... You have to be so careful. I'm full of GMs. Anyway, it takes its title from the spot where the tragedy happened, a place called Mercy Bay.
£10,000 the price was set to find the Northwest Passage. Go down,
go down.
So many ships have tried, and yet the ice floes will not let them through. 1850 was the year we sailed out of Plymouth.
Go down.
On a mighty ship with a little fear, we steal it all and all.
Much as Chris was inspired to write that song about Captain McClure from a newspaper article about the discovery of this next song is also by a songwriter about a real person, and it's another nautical one, but this time not a disaster, this time a hint of triumph written in the lyrics here. Ralph Mattel was watching the telly, goofing off on the sofa, and he came upon this program, which was unusual. It was a first person record of a journey made from Hamburg to Valparaiso in 1929. On a four-masted training vessel. The young man who took the movie was born out of his time because he was a youngster at the time, but he obviously got connections. He borrowed or stole a hand-crank cine camera, and he made this movie about it, and it inspired him, confirmed his belief in what he'd always known, that his life was to be spent under sail at sea. And he's remembered in the United States as the father of sail training. His name's Irving Johnston. If you've got the altar web after you get home, you can always have a look on YouTube and just look up Irving Johnston around Cape Horn, and you'll see this same film that Ralph saw. Interesting enough, if you do see that, you'll hear Irving Johnston himself as an older man narrating over the sills of the silent images, obviously. And he uses many of the same words that Ralph actually discovered in this song. And I mean, how did that happen? Because it didn't happen in that order, did it? Anyway, it's a crafty bit of work, and it's called Around the World Cape Horn.
But we pull into the Atlantic.
sun did sparkle more. When the turkey got sick, so he came in quick. That was a sign we were on the morning. Well, we lost two boys along the voyage. They got washed overboard. The silence swung us down the road. No, 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 two empty bones to mark the space. Their own two lives to mourn. Torn between life and death.
By David Cyril Eric Swarbrick, who resides in Coventry, and if any of Swarbrick's creditors are in tonight, I can pass on his address for a small fee. And it's a beautiful little song. It was on an album called Angel Delight. Have you got that?
Yeah.
30 of you. Thanks very much. I knew we would be in Farnham. And it's a lovely little song. We'd like to sing it tonight for Chris and Julie Maddox, who've put us on here tonight, and indeed over the many times that we've played in Farnham. We always have a wonderful time here, and Chris works his slaps off to keep this place thriving and functioning, and loves his music. So this is for Chris and Julie tonight, and ta for having us, and keep supporting the Maltings, because it's a great place.
Yeah.
So they had two bells cast in Whitechapel. The first bell was dedicated to the village itself, and that was called the St Mary Bell. The second bell, the village itself wanted to recognise the fact that up to that point there had been a festival happening at Cropredy every second weekend in August for about 30 plus years. And so the second bell, hanging alongside the other seven, has beautiful lettering cast into it, and it reads, "The Fairport Festival Bell."
It's all for a lot of fun.
I mean, your Black Sabbath don't have their own bell. In metal.
So this is a song about the bells, it's about the festival itself, and it does mention two hostelries in the village, namely the Red Lion. There's the landlady. And the Brazen Nose. Gets it, yeah, it does.
Yeah. They obviously don't drink at all.
No, no. Or maybe you're just all at the Wadsworth 6X bar in the field. Marvellous. This is called the Festival Bell.
Jack, 200 years later, now it's minor and major.
chose the set list for us. And it's a song from Legion Leaf. It's the unplayed track. This is the one that never made it to the stage repertoire until this time last year, I suppose. It's called Farewell, Farewell. It's the final track on that, that CD. And I really should have been tuning that, shouldn't I?
won't take a second, but it's called Farewell, Farewell, but it's not actually about saying goodbye in the sense of we've got more songs after it. another misplaced item there. Wave and stray, dodging about the set list looking for his final poem. Your pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, farewell.
Farewell, farewell to
we resemble that remark.
It's a song written by Chris Lizzie again. It's called The Wood and the Wire, and although we haven't got it with us, it's available on our website. All sorts of other goodies. Hint, hint. Gordon the Wire. Well, Chris has always been very interested in sheep fencing. But I understand that's no longer an Olympic sport. No, it's about this kind of wood and these kind of wires. Get it? See, wooden wire. Spanky planky stuff. Or scrapey rapey things. Or funky funky things. And if you're a child and you fall under the spell of an instrument and you end up getting one, thanks to pester power, in my case, be careful what you wish for, because otherwise you might end up sacrificing your career into something sensible and legitimate for a lifetime of this malarkey. Too late now. Anyway, wouldn't know why. It says it all to me.
soon, our hero Richard Thompson, a former member of this establishment, will be playing in Basingstoke. You're all going to see him, I hope, yeah? Yeah? We'll give him our best wishes. He's got a new line in Berries, Black Berries, on the merch stand. It's something he got from Birmingham, from the Royal Wedding Fats, Blackberry Way. That's when Richard, you know, used to live in Birmingham. He wised up and left, actually. And then it was written by Richard, this next song, and also by David Cyril Eric Swarbrick, who also wised up and left our band when he was younger and went on to have a great career selling his obituary. in fact, Swarb will be playing here in the next couple of months, I think, and we're still playing magnificently, and you know, hero of ours, although he still owes us the VAT from the last album. So it's a song called Doctor of Physic. It comes from the Full House album, which some of you have got, have you? Yeah. We haven't got that for sale, so I'm glad you bought it when you got the chance. Doctor of Physic, it's a great song and really difficult to play, so we'd appreciate you going bananas at the end.
Thank you.
so much the product of its creator. It's her signature song. And Sandy Denny joined the band in 1968. And she'd already written this song, so she was about 18, I think, when she crystallized it. It's a remarkable song because the older I've got, every birthday that's gone by, I've said, "Nelly, that song's really got it. You know, it's really true." Undeniably so. But welcome to our world, and thank you for listening to this. In a way, it can bring a little bit of her back into the room, so that's my excuse for having to go.
I have
Festival Bell CD. And some of you may have heard me tell you in the past actually how I composed this using ukulele and a bottle of Jack Daniels. Yeah, but what I haven't told you in the past actually, that this piece is also heavily influenced by classical music, because I was myself classically trained up until the age of one. And this is especially influenced by the music of Handel. Now, as I'm sure some of you know, Handel teamed up with Hinjenbracket to form the Doors. And it's this part of his career that's particularly influenced me lately. So this is Daddy Jackson Ward, who can dig it. It's written especially to feature our wonderful rhythm section. Jerry and Peggy. Tonight we're going to do it. Yes, thank you. Thank you. This one's going to be the final one.
Thank you.
will be in the right tuning. Should be. We've got to the bottom of the list, so we're going to leave you with that old hardy perennial of a song, which takes us on a tour of feudal life in 19 short verses. Simple tale that we found in all traditions, in all forms, poetry, art, song even. And it's about a simple triangular relationship between the big boss man who owns everything, controls everybody and employs everything, and his slightly ditzy, beautiful, much younger wife, and a handsome young serving man who's drifting around the place, sort of fluffing up the cushions and catching her eye from time to time. His name is Matty Grubbs. And to give it a different slant, we've gone out of our way and got Christopher Banjo. There we go. Fairport Go Banjo. How bad is that? Anyway, we have been. Thanks for listening. We've been Fairport Motion, and we will see you, hopefully, in a North Oxford postcode on the 8th, 9th, and 10th of August later this year. Read all about it on the flyers we put around, bookmarks, take them home, stick them in your favourite book. Keep reminding yourself about being, and come along and have a wonderful weekend in the country. Guaranteed sunshine. North Oxfordshire is the sunniest place in the world, if not the world.
Don't forget to come and see Steve I. Stan in March. They're a great band. And if they've got a banjo, can you let us know? Yeah?
Midnight, I look into my crystal ball on the Saturday night on the 10th. I should see us all gathered together in this field, 20,000 shining faces under the starlight. The heat still baking under the
dreamer.
The memory of 3 days of wonderful music, fellowship, and dream washed down.